where strategy gaming meets good vibes. No stress, just critical moves. Welcome everybody to episode 4 of the Critical Moves podcast. I'm Al, and today we're going to be talking about everyone's favourite strategy game franchise, Total War. I'm joined by Nuno.
Hello everyone.
Joe.
Hey everybody.
And Tim.
Good day everyone.
So let's kick off. Nuno, Total War is the best strategy game franchise ever, isn't it?
No, it is not. It might have been once when Rome Total War was trailblazing the RTS and grand strategy genre, but I think that ship has long sailed, and Total War now is quite a different beast. Sometimes for the best, sometimes for the worst, but I'm going to agree with you on something, is that I still think that Total War is a great franchise, and I love the Warhammer games, so yeah, I know this is going to piss off a lot of people, especially those historical title lovers, but I really think that the future of Total War lives within the fantasy genre.
Well, let's talk historical for a moment then. Joe, what was the first Total War game that you played?
I played both Rome and Medieval. Which one of those came out first?
Medieval came out first. Shogun came out first. Medieval was the second.
Okay, Medieval 1 was my first game.
Medieval 1 was my first game as well, my first Total War game as well. What about you, Tim?
Yeah, Rome 1 here. I played that like so many hours.
So why do you think that these games have been so popular?
Personally, I think they're a really good middle of the road. You have like the rather simplified strategy game. Like it's not like a 4X or a grand strategy game. Like it's kind of easy to get into. And then you have like the big bloody battles that have like a really cool effect. And you don't even need to be so good at it just to have fun with it. You know, you have your army, you send it over and there's like these big bloody battles and that's pretty cool. So like the amount of effort for how much fun you're getting is like a pretty good middle of the road, I would say.
That's a good point. You don't have to be exceptionally skilled to pull off a simple hammer and anvil on some of these games. And it's really satisfying to see it work. So, great point.
Medieval Total War was one of the first PC games that I really dumped a lot of time into. And it was just, I was a huge RTS player at the time it came out, massively into the Red Alert series, Command & Conquer series, Total Annihilation. And this was just something completely different, just the scale. I guess it was the game that really introduced me to the idea of grand strategy as a genre.
Yeah, scale is definitely a big thing that had it in its favor. But I'll agree with Nuno saying that to me, it's kind of fallen off a bit. And you see that with newer titles, like the Faro one. It hasn't innovated much. And the only place where it has is the fantasy one. And now we're on Warhammer 3, the third version of the same game. Like, where's the innovation here?
Well, was the fantasy versions really an innovation? It's just a different setting, isn't it?
Oh, okay, but I mean, there was innovation in the sense of when your experience was very different from the historical ones. You're like, you had this badass magic and huge units and everything.
Okay, I see some innovation in those games in the way that they can have such a big map, so many factions, and still make it the turn times not take forever. Don't ask me to explain how that's an innovation, but in my heart, I know it to be true. I feel innovative when I see that.
I think they have the Warhammer games have something that's quite interesting, which is that the factions are really different from one another. And unlike something, so maybe Rome isn't the best example, but let's take Medieval for example. So Medieval Warfare was mostly just equal all over Europe, right? So it had a couple of differences here and there because of geographical reasons and technological advancements, but mostly similar forces would face off on the battlefield, and there wasn't a lot of exciting stuff going on, right? In Warhammer, things are quite different. So, and I perfectly remember when Total War Warhammer 2 came out that it had four factions, and neither of them played the same. They all had different objectives, so it wasn't just a paint the map kind of gameplay we've gotten used to see in Total War, but it was more of like you have a very concise objective and something you need to do, and each faction has their own unique skills. The unit rosters are super different from one another. Like the elves play completely different from the wizard men. The Chaos is absolutely different from something like the Empire. Some don't even have settlements, and I think Chaos is one of those factions. In Total War Warhammer 3, which is the most recent one I've played, they don't even have settlements, I think so. You just need to be super aggressive, run down the map, make sure you're spreading as much Chaos as possible. And I think this isn't necessarily an innovation kind of stuff, but I love when games do the asymmetrical factions kind of thing, because it just... It removes the game of numbers from the equation, right? So you're no longer just, oh, let me see how many pikemen I can stack up against that cavalry and how many archers I can stack up against that infantry. Units really don't fit those criteria, so it feels very fresh and new, and you're always facing different rosters that play massively different from one another. And I remember playing the original Rome, and like I cleared a whole campaign just by doing the same square formation thingy box. So you just put like your strong troops on the front, your weaker or slightly weaker troops on a kind of two oblique lines on the back, and then you just have like cavalry sweeping down the flanks. So kind of a Anvil and Hammer kind of tactics, and you just sweep over the map. And in Warhammer, those kind of stuff don't work all that well, because you have flying units, you have like massive artillery units that can clear out entire formations at once, you have wizards, you have a lot of magic, and I think it's very,
one,
very different.
One counterpoint, you know, real quick, is what I had a problem with is that it still kept the rock, paper, scissors thing. This unit has the special damage against that other unit, and just because, not because of the mechanics or something, but it's just like engraved in the rules, special damages. And I think that's a bit of a pity that you have to remember, oh, these units are good against that kind of unit, and then like you have to like chase that a little bit.
Wasn't Warhammer a bit of a risk for Creative Assembly? Because I'm sure the purists, those who are deeply ingrained in the historical games, weren't very happy when CA announced they were going fantasy.
Yeah, it's a risk, but don't you think they took this risk with the idea that look at all these people we can grab with the Games Workshop fans? You know, they know there's this huge fandom. Look at, I mean, I'm stomping on future stuff, but they're looking at a 40K game, which is probably even riskier to try to pull that off, but the fandom's so big, it's worth it. So yeah, they did risk, but I think it was a risk that had a huge upside.
Yes, it did pay off, because Warhammer 2 has been the most successful Total War game ever released. So I guess the first one people were like, let's see how this works out, really bought into it, and Warhammer 2 was CA's biggest title.
I also think there's another reason there, which is that, let's be super honest here, and I don't think the historical audience really there at the moment, because I think you have like a vocal minority of people who are always asking CA to release another historical game, but, I mean, money speaks for itself, right? So you release Total War, and it's your Total War Warhammer, and if it's your best-selling game, there's an audience for Total War. That's for sure.
Is it not a case of they are releasing the wrong historical titles? If you look at Thrones of Britannia, was the worst selling game. You look at Pharaoh, not very well received, which is why they've done such a huge dump of future DLCs into a free update just to shore up Pharaoh and get people playing it again. They had Three Kingdoms 2. It got cancelled. It was cancelled last year, I believe. Is it a case of they're doing the wrong ones? Because every time you see something posted somewhere about the next Total War game, it's always Medieval 3 or Empire 2. Now, is it just a case of they are saying, well, to hell with you guys, this is what we want to do, rather than giving people what they want?
So to me, it's a big case of not when they're releasing. I think Medieval 3, probably they would pour a lot of resources in it because it's expected that would be a big game. But even that's not really the solution about which time they're choosing or anything like that. But like, if you take Pharaoh and you change the skins and everything like that, you might as well, and you change the map a bit, you might as well just have any other of the Total War games. I mean, there's nothing in Pharaoh that I'm like, oh, I have to play this, because honestly, I think the time period is really cool time period that's really underused, and I would love to play like a really extensive, fresh game in that time period. So to me, it has nothing to do with the time period. And if you look at what the core mechanics and the core gameplay, so some of the biggest improvements are things like the armies being able to block other armies, so you can't just walk past other armies and stuff like that. Like, those are like big improvements I really enjoyed, and I haven't seen that in quite a while.
But couldn't you level that same argument at every single Total War game since Rome, I suppose, when they went from the sprite-based armies to 3D armies? Couldn't you level that same complaint that it is just a reskin? You know, we talk often about innovation in these games, and it seems that CA trot out the next Total War game without very much innovation. There might be a few different mechanics, but it doesn't innovate. It's still a turn-based game with real-time battles. Could you not just say that every single release is simply a reskin of the one before?
Well, so I have something to sell you here. I had a thought about Total War that I think a lot of you are going to disagree with, and I'm fine with that. But what I would love to see with Total War was a campaign map that was not turn-based, but was real-time. So you can move your armies. All the movements keeps really slowly. So it's not like you're moving and you have to click everywhere really fast. The armies move really slowly, but everything is in real-time. Buildings are constructed over time. And I think that would enable something that is really underutilized to me in Total War, and just multiplayer. Personally, I really, really love in strategy a multiplayer version where you don't have to just beat a computer, but you have to beat the mind of someone else that creates their own strategies. And I think that's super powerful in strategy games. And the turn-based thing, it doesn't lend itself to multiplayer at all whatsoever. None of the big turn-based games do well in multiplayer for obvious reasons. And so I believe that trying something like that, I don't think they will do it. I don't think it'd be really popular if people just hear me saying this, but I think it could work really well.
If you agree with Tim or disagree, come and tell us. We're very interested, because I don't think that CA would go with that. I think that it would turn off too many of the hardcore Total War fans if they changed the format in such a way. Maybe not. I don't think it would happen.
Oh, I don't think they'll do it, but I think it would be cool if they did.
On the 7th of October of this year, CA tweeted that they have in development titles across fantasy and historical. Joe, what do you think they might be?
Well, I know I've seen some talk of Warhammer 40K. The other one that I don't know if they're going to do it, but I'd love to see them do Lord of the Rings. I think Lord of the Rings seems like a slam dunk for them. We'd have varied factions. We'd have the monsters. I mean, they've got a lot of the stuff already in a Warhammer game, but we just put a Tolkien spin on it. I think that would be really successful. Depending on what they did, right? If they could somehow actually do a War of the Ring type deal with it, I think that would be insane.
Yeah. Question is, how expensive is the IP?
Yeah, but they already have everything set up, so maybe they can offset that with the production costs not being as high, because, I mean, Warhammer is Warhammer Fantasy is Lord of the Rings with an edgier skin on it, right? So I don't think there wouldn't be a lot of effort. But going back to those historical titles, so here's where I disagree with Tim when he said something about like the campaigns being real time. And I believe, and this I might be completely wrong in this, but I believe that most people love Total War because of the tactical battles and not necessarily because of the campaign map. Because the campaign map in Total War is really bad. It is. If you compare it to something like Crusader Kings or Europa Universalis or like something Paradox related, They're really lacking. There's nothing special. There's not a lot of mechanics. It's just a contextualization of the battle that's about to happen, right? So you're just building your empire and you're painting your map. You're painting the map on your own color, and then you just go and have a spectacular battle. Or they used to be spectacular. And the tactical battles used to be really great in the first couple of Total Wars, at least until Empire, they were, because like, the mechanics were really good. Like your unit, I remember watching a video from some guy on YouTube that explained how unit experience affected the way your troops behaved in formation. So if they were more experienced than others, and if you had a unit coming, a friendly unit that was on front of your lines, and if they were going backwards, like they would open up small gaps for them to cross through, but if they weren't as experienced, like they would get all jumbled up in one another. And I played Rome as a kid, so I have no recollection if this was actually the case or not, but it's really surprising to go back and look at how in-depth and how detailed these battles used to be. Do you guys remember when History Channel was running the they were simulating battles using the Total War engine in something called Decisive Battles? Did you guys ever watch that?
Oh, I did. Yeah. I think they did Attila. No.
Oh, they did a lot. They did a lot of battles with the Rome engine. So what they did was, they would put like two guys in front of each other, like two historians, and have them fight using the Total War, the Rome Total War engine, and it was really, really cool. And this was fantastic back then because you had no other competitor to Total War. So this is part of why Total War was such a massive success back then, and why people are still so livid that they're not going back to doing Rome 2 and Medieval 2. And I also think that sometimes people forget just how buggy and how bad Empire was at release. So Empire was absolutely broken.
Yeah, at release it was really bad. And I heard a lot of bad things about Empire, and so I didn't play it at the time, but I think that was on release. And I think it got patched up, didn't it, Al?
Empire is my favorite Total War game, so I will not hear...
Of course,
I will
British.
Not hear a bad word said about it. Right? No. The thing with Empire is it just expanded. Now, there's 2 points here. The first one is that when you say that everybody wants the battles and they're not interested in the campaign, you're talking shit, right? It's as simple as that. The battles...
Prove me wrong.
The battles can be skipped. Total War is a single-player game, predominantly a single-player game, and it is a hugely successful franchise because people want that single-player experience. The battles can be skipped. The campaign cannot. It would not be as successful as it was if people didn't enjoy the campaign phase. So I'm calling you out. You're wrong. 100% completely wrong.
The campaign can be skipped. You have the custom battles.
Yeah, but nobody, the skirmish nobody plays custom battles. No.
Yes, they do. You have a massive online community.
You need to get back in your box because you're talking complete crap so. Now. Now the other point that I wanted to make was on the campaign map for Empire with the three different theaters of war.
Nice.
You had the Americas, you had Europe, and then you had India, and I just thought that was incredible. Such a huge world for you to be able to fight in. And it was also the first game that introduced naval battles to Total War. real-time naval battles, I thought they were out of this world just with the amount of investment that they put into scanning the ships at the Maritime Museum so that we had realistic, real-world models. It was a brilliant, brilliant game. And other than Medieval 3, Empire 2 would be the historical game that I would like to see released next. Joe, what would you like to see historically?
You know, this is so lame of me to say, but I really wish they would just do a Rome 3. Let's get Rome 3. I didn't like Rome 2. I loved Rome 1. Let's try again with Rome 3.
What did you not like about Rome 2?
It was one of those games that I'd started up. You know how you start a game? Maybe it's just me. I start a game and immediately I don't like it.
Okay.
And sometimes I can't even tell you what it is that I'm not loving, but just the whole thing feels off. Rome was kind of like that. I didn't like the forced, when I started campaign, I didn't like the like forced tutorial that it was putting me through. I didn't like a lot of the changes it made. Even though some of those changes I ended up liking later, I just didn't like how Rome 2 did it. And so mine would be a Rome 3, or I would really love an Empire 2. I really liked beating the British.
To me, since Rome 2, there hasn't... like, I think Rome 2 introduced a lot of the innovation that I enjoy in Total War games today. And I think there hasn't been that much that has been introduced since Rome 2. So I'm not sure even what they would do with Rome 3, like what they would change, other than something new and fresh and something that we haven't seen before.
Well, not to be a negative nanny, but isn't that the same complaint that we have of every, or that you could have of every single historical Total War game? It's just the same. It's regurgitated.
You can do so much more. You can and you should do so much more. You were talking about a campaign map. Yeah, I'm sorry, but I find the campaign map to be so simplistic. And okay, maybe that appeals to a lot of people, and that's totally fine. There's nothing bad with people enjoying simple things. But to me, it's way too simple, like the construction of the buildings and everything like that. Like, give me something more. Give me, like, diplomacy is incredibly simple. There's almost no trade to speak of, or interaction, at least, with trade. Like, give me something more, and I'm not finding that. And I enjoyed it as a teenager. It was really fun. But I've moved on now. It was like a stepping stone to Paradox games and other such games to me.
Did you know they were working on a Total War World War One game?
Oh my goodness! No.
They were, but it's faced serious difficulties, and apparently the game director resigned in 2023. I think what they're saying is they had to build an entirely new engine for this, which makes sense, I suppose. It's going to be a huge departure from the Swords and Shields versions of historical games. So it's unannounced. It was being worked on, but whether it ever sees the light of day is another matter altogether.
Guys, if you want to play a great World War One game, go play the Great War Western Front. It has a grand strategy campaign that actually makes sense in World War One, and it has a real-time battle mechanic that makes sense, and it's just not a reskin of Rome 2.
Yeah, because Total War, the formula as is, doesn't sound like it would work whatsoever with World War One. Maybe if they made a new game, that could work. But yeah, with the mechanics of Total War, I don't see World War One working at all.
I don't think it ever would work, because World War One was a war of massive troop movement, right? So you would need to have gigantic real-time strategy maps. You need thousands of troops going around. And unlike World War Two, which most of the fight actually happened at the squad level, in World War One it just... massive, I wouldn't say armies, but divisions moving all together, and they might go on for miles without a fight, and then they might have an intense fight and some strategic strong points, and then they would go over those, and then they would have to counterattack. So it's a really different and complex kind of war to simulate, and I don't think a lot of video games have managed to do this all that well.
This is probably why the project faced such difficulties and why we probably won't see it. Now, they have, whether they've confirmed officially, they have confirmed unofficially that there is a Warhammer 40K game. Joe, how do you think that one would work out?
You know, I have no idea how they're going to do it. I think, but I can't wait, right? Hopefully they would give us a little more grand strategy, right? Hopefully they'll take a little more of the paradox and add that in, because I think you need that. But I really would not be able to stand waiting for that. I'll be interested to see how they do all those different factions and whatnot. It'll be really interesting. I wanted to say, I'm taking us back for 1 second. There's a mod for Crusader Kings called Crusader Wars that lets you play all your battles in the Attila game, in Attila custom battles, and it keeps track of how you did, and then it comes back and gives you your results. So now we're talking
so funky.
Crusader Kings.
What?
Yeah, we're talking Crusader Kings. But,
wow, I've never heard of this. Holy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
Crusader Wars.
That's incredible. See what people. What people do when they're passionate about something. I love that. Absolutely love that. When it comes to 40K, have you played Battlefield Gothic Armada?
Yes.
Because when I was playing that, that felt like Total War 40K, especially when it came to like naval style combat.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it would be interesting because I think we are so used to seeing the map of planet Earth when we're on a certain part of it when we're playing Total War games. You're going to take this franchise galactic with Warhammer 40K. And I think that the naval aspect would be super important to this particular game. But it isn't their flagship title. That is Star Wars. Now, I think Joe was going to talk about that.
That's another one where that'll be interesting to see what they do. Will they do the generals thing, the lords like they do in Warhammer, and you'll have like a Jedi Lord? That'll be interesting to see a Jedi Lord on the battlefield fighting against stormtroopers. Will stormtroopers have mandatory poor accuracy? They're going to have to decide on that.
But what would the difference be between Star Wars Empires at War and Total War Star Wars?
Oh, I have like Star Wars is a really cool franchise to do Total War in. So first, Star Wars is World War II in space. Okay, so that's the first thing to get out of the way. I mean, it's clearly inspired by World War II.
I thought it was Vietnam in space. With America being the Empire and the Rebels being the Viet Cong?
I guess. I don't know. But I would say it's World War II.
We'll agree to disagree on
because,
that one.
So, you know, yeah, we'll agree to disagree
again.
On that one. But you have like the World War II naval battles would work out great on the Total War engine, right? Because it's just Empire battles with modern... with spaceships. So I think it's going, like, it might not be as detailed as Battlefleet Gothic, but it would be interesting enough to see how it plays. I just like the Empire stuff. I think it would be fantastic if you could just manage a lot of different planets, and each planet would have their own kind of skills, their own kind of units.
But they need to do that right. It needs to be detailed. They can't just give us the minimum.
Now, as for the inland tactical battles, I'm not so sure how that would play out, because it would just feel wrong to have like a bunch of stormtroopers and rebels just fighting on a line against each other with the current system. It would be like Empire, but with lasers, and it just wouldn't be...
Did you play Star Wars Empires at War? So with Empires at War, notice what they did there. You have your campaign map and you have your tactical battles. But did you notice how the campaign map was real time and it was not a turn-based game? And then the multiplayer was really nice and fun. Just saying, But no, if you haven't played it, check it out. And I think it would be a good preview for what Total War Star Wars could look like.
I'm sure that CA will be playing lots of Empire before they start building Star Wars Total War.
I always thought Empire was kind of like Age of Empires, but Star Wars.
So you have this game that they made Age of Empires Star Wars, like on Age of Empires engine, but there's another one, Star Wars Empire at War. And that's like a RTS tactics hybrid where you have like the... It's very different from most other games, but you have like the galaxy, you have your planets that you manage, you make buildings, much like in Total War and everything like that. And then when two fleets collide or two armies collide, there's the tactics battle that gets engaged.
So that for everyone that's curious, the game that Joe was talking about, it's called Star Wars Battlegrounds, and it's a really cool, risky, innovative Age of Empires, and it's actually a very graphical, good-looking game. I think it captures the serious aesthetic really, really well, and it's super detailed, so that's fantastic. But yeah, about Empire at War. So I was getting confused because I thought you were talking about like Empire Total War. So Empire at War, I've played a couple of games of that, and the RTS battles of Empire at War are really not that good because they just I would say there's something like maybe the first Dawn of War. But with Star Wars in it, but the galactic battles and the ship battles are fantastic. Those are really, really well done.
And I think that for both a 40K game or a Star Wars game, those naval battles will be crucial. They'll be really, really important because you cannot move between planets without having a naval battle.
You know, I'm coming to the conclusion that the problem with Total War at the moment is just the fact that their engine is made for medium-sized battles, and they just don't have a good engine to replicate small-scale battles. And as technology progresses and as you go further into the timeline, to the present and to these kind of sci-fi settings, you would expect that battles would start to happen at a smaller scale, right? So, I don't imagine like Total War being a head-on, not Total War, sorry, Star Wars being a head-on battle. I don't imagine like 40K might be a bit different, but 40K depends a lot on the kind of setting or kind of planet you're fighting on, because you have battles where like it's something more similar to World War II, have something that's more similar to World War I, and that just changes a lot. Because so I think that if CA is going to do a proper Star Wars game, they really need to either adapt or rebuild their land battle engines, and because this is just not gonna cut it. Because nobody wants to, it's just so weird if you have like 80 stormtroopers all lined up together, just fighting at each other. It just doesn't make a lot of sense, right?
No, you're absolutely right. And this is why there needs to be a new engine. And this is what they've been working on when they talked about World War One. Now, perhaps World War One project was a precursor to the Star Wars game, the 40K game, to say, can we move this quite traditional, relatively static blocks facing against blocks, can we move that into something much more dynamic? And that's going to be the innovation which CA needs to introduce in order for Total War to continue to be successful. Because every iteration that they bring out, everyone says, oh, it's just like. There is no innovation there. And there needs to be a wholesale change in what they are producing in order for this to continue to be successful. And these two games, the Warhammer 40K game and the Star Wars game, are hugely different to anything that CA have produced so far.
And while you might reuse a lot one for the other, when you talk about scale, I can't think of anything else that has a scale of Warhammer 40K. Like, You were talking about, oh, Star Wars might need an engine that has accounts for a lower amount of troops. 40K is the exact opposite. Like the numbers, when you look at the lore of 40K, the numbers are just like, it's just obscene for the sake of being obscene.
Well, I guess because we haven't seen large-scale battles in the Star Wars universe across any of the media doesn't mean that they don't occur in the lore. True. So there is also the potential that there needs to be large-scale battles. And I think that, do people want to see small-scale things? Do people go into Total War games for small-scale squad-based battles? And I don't think they do. They go in for that grand battle experience. So you need to be looking at making this a situation where they can introduce thousands, tens of thousands of units, all individually animated, you know, all firing individually at individual targets. That's where they need to be aiming with this. Now, maybe we're being, or maybe I'm being too, maybe I'm being too optimistic about that. Maybe it wouldn't happen. But I think that if you want to make a Star Wars game, because there is no bigger IP than Star Wars. If you want to make a quality Star Wars game, you've got to do something which appeals to everybody, to all of those Star Wars fans, and at the same time satisfy your traditional hardcore Total War fans as well. And that's a difficult task to pull off.
Yeah, I would say that you were right also when you said that the space battles were the most important part, and that's the thing that they're going to have to nail. And I think I would look forward the most to the space battle. As cool as the AT&T is, space battles should be the main focus, I think.
Other than those franchises, what franchises would you like, or maybe historical timelines would you like to see Total War go into?
For me, medieval tree would be a big one, simply because I think, medieval warfare is one of the coolest that there is. And when it comes to historical, it's warfare. We're talking about murdering people, right? But
murder is cool.
One thing that I feel like they missed out a lot is on siege warfare. And I would like to see more love to siege warfare, because that's a big part of medieval warfare in general, and where a lot of the coolness factor comes for me personally. And I was very unimpressed with, I think, every single Total War siege warfare, including the Warhammers. It feels like very, very underwhelming. But yeah.
The only thing I can think of, and I'm not even sure how it could be done, but they've never even really tried a Victorian-era Total War game. Yeah. There'd be so much more Navy in that. That would be an interesting one to see how that would work. And you would have so many different settings in that, so many different theaters of war you could have. You could just, like, I know I'm bouncing off of Paradox's game, but that could be really cool to see some of those live battles.
Yeah, an expanded Napoleon.
I think I agree with Tim. I think the medieval time could be a fantastic time for Total War to improve on. And yes, the siege battles are probably some of the most important in the medieval era. But I have another weird time period that might be a bit more niche and might not attract a whole lot of folk. But since we're wishlisting here, I think the Renaissance period would be fantastic, because you have a period in Europe where heavy cavalry is being phased out from the 15th century onwards, and muskets are being introduced into the battlefield at a larger scale, right? So what you saw during the 15th and 16th century was the domination of a formation called tercios. So tercios were a mix between pikemen and musketeers, or people, I'm not sure if muskets is the correct nomenclature here, but firearms, primitive for firearms, right? And this made for a very interesting time period where not every country or nation in Europe had those tercios already developed or adapted to them at all. So there's an interesting period where some things are being phased out and others are being introduced into the battlefield. And I think this is super interesting because you have like nations, like the Tercio was born in Spain, like Spain that started to dominate the battlefield during the late 15th to early 16th centuries. You have the Portuguese going overseas drastically different tactics of war than they used to have during the medieval times, right? So, because you have a lot more naval action as well. And then in the medieval Europe or the entering the Renaissance kind of Europe, so France, Germany, or what was going to be Germany in the future, and England, you still have a weird domination of heavy cavalry with heavy infantry as well. So there's a lot of different kind of units you could create and play around with. So I think this would be very, very cool. And if you manage to bring into things like the Chinese, the Indians, all of North Africa, I think you could have a very interesting game here, because you were at the crossroads of medieval warfare. So I think the tactical battles would be really cool, and the grand strategy aspect of it, so the discovery of going and finding out, I mean, of course this is a European perspective, right, but of going into the world and finding out things that weren't there before is something that was never explored before. And I think it would be really fantastic to see what CA could do with that. And yeah, that's my niche time period. So late 15th, early 15th century to the early 17th or late 17th century.
Okay. Well, thanks for that.
sorry for the history lesson, guys.
I learned something.
We've all learned. We always learn something when Nuno is on these episodes.
I mean, I was a professional historian for a while, so.
Well, thanks very much for joining me to talk about Total War, the past, the present, and the future. It's been really appreciated. Next week, we will be talking about the franchises that we want to see as strategy games. So make sure you tune in next Friday for that.